Addict. You're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Good morning. At 11:02, it is 40 degrees in Flemington, and the forecast for today is mostly sunny with a high of 57. Tonight will be mostly cloudy, a high of 42. And on Friday, there's a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m., but they'll be all rain because it will be just above 64 degrees. On Saturday, it'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 69, and then Saturday night, the showers move in, and most of Sunday looks to be a washout. Showers mainly before 2 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high of 56.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Jennifer Winberry, Jim Thatch is on vacation this week. On today's show, you'll hear a wrap-up of Maker's Day held last Saturday at the North and South County branches, about the forthcoming programs at the libraries, Friends of the HCL Book Sale Drive, and volunteer opportunities, a sneak peek of National Library Week, and where you'll be finding things at headquarters. At 11:15, I will be interviewing the New Yorker copy editor, Mary Norris, author of the forthcoming Greek to Me, Adventures of a Comma Queen, and the widely acclaimed Between You and Me, Confessions of a Comma Queen, who I hope will finally settle once and for all the proper use of the word funnest, as if there could ever be one Jim Thatch. All that and more on today's library show. Good morning. It's a little bit lonely, truth be told, but much less adversarial today without Jim Thatch. I shall soldier on. And this morning I am playing Karma Chameleon. Of course, it's Boy George and Culture Club. And it's a play on comma. Karma. Get it? Okay. It amused me. What can I say? Last Saturday was Maker's Day throughout New Jersey, but more specifically, it was Maker's Day at the North and South County Branch Libraries. There were almost 800 participants between the two locations, between the families that attended, the artisans who presented, the volunteers, and the staff. And a big thank you goes out to ShopRite of Flemington who provided, and Clinton, for providing lunch for the presenters. And congratulations to Sandy Janicek and Marianne Severs, who took the lead coordinating these days. Patrons made doodle bops, duct tape crafts, watched robot wars created with Legos, sewing machines, made rope, learned about coffee roasting and sipping chocolate, and there were plenty of things for them to take home to continue the fun of the day once the library closed. Also introduced that day at the North County Branch Library were microbit starter kits that the library will now be lending out to patrons, and allowing patrons to begin some simple coding at home. These kits can be found on our library catalog, ipac.hclibrary.us. Just search using the term BBC microbit. Thanks also to the Friends of the Hunterdon County Library who funded these events, and to our director Jim Thatch, who was one of the James Keebler, who was one of the driving forces behind the institution of New Jersey Maker's Day. And as Jim likes to say, the next tentpole event for the Hunterdon County Library is the spring book sale, which begins on Saturday, April 27th. Members of the Friends of the Huntington County Library are admitted at 8 a.m. and the rest of the public at 10 a.m. The book sale will be held at South County Park on 179. If you're going to put it in your Google or MapQuest, you need to use Lambertville. But it's right off of 202 South. The hours on Saturday are 10 to 5, and Sunday is half price day. April 28th, the hours are 10 to 3, and Monday is bag sale, $5 a bag, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. The bags will be provided. Like I said, the early bird admission is Saturday, April 27th, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's $20 admission fee, or it is free to Friends of the Huntington County Library. Bring your 2019 membership card for free early admission. Let's see, the location is 1207 Route 179, Lambertville, New Jersey. And the book drives, because we need things to sell, they begin at South County Park Saturday, April 13th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then again, April 20th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. There'll be volunteers in the parking lot. You just pull up. The volunteers will help you unload your vehicles, and charitable contribution forms will be available. It's preferred if your items are packed in boxes. Covered boxes are very good. It just makes the stacking easier and the unloading a much faster process. There's additional drive locations if you cannot make it to one of those drives, April 15th through the 18th. At the headquarters library, you can drop 1 to 2 bags or boxes off. At the North County Branch Library, there will be no limit, because they will be sorting there during that week. And the South County Branch Library, 1 to 2 boxes only. They are looking for hardbacks and paperbacks, children's books, books on CD, DVDs, music, CDs, and video games, and sheet music. And please do not bring LPs or vinyl. Tapes, including video, music, books on tape, which is reiterated in the next two lines. No badly worn, soiled, torn, or mildewed books. No Reader's Digest. Condensed books, no discarded library books, no Time Life sets, no textbooks or catalogs, no encyclopedias, no outdated computer business, self-help, health, or travel magazines, and travel books, and no magazines including National Geographic. And it is a cost to the Friends to have to recycle these items, because even the jobber who comes and takes away a lot of the leftover books will not take these items, so they have to be recycled. The library, the book sale also needs volunteers to help with the book sale. They are looking for the South County Park setup for sorting on Wednesday, April 10th, 11th, and 12th. They'll be looking for book drive activities, which include unloading cars, parking, packing donations, lifting and stacking boxes. Sorting isn't done as much on that day, and you might not be able to sort. It's lugging and lifting on those days. On North County Branch, sorting will be Monday, April 15th through Monday, April 22nd. The library will be closed on Friday, April 19th for Good Friday, so there will be no sorting that day. Bottled water will be provided, but please bring meals or snacks as needed. And there's several different shifts. Wednesday is the long day, 10 to 9, and they ask that you sign up for 4-hour shifts. They need people to pick up books at the headquarters and South County Branch Library and bring them to the North County Branch Library, and that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, April 15th through the 18th. And then that same week, they need sorting and sales set up at South County Branch Park, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday the following evening. The following week, they'll need some more set up. And then they need, on book sale days, they need cashiers, they need book counters, table restockers, porters, and traffic control. So all of this information and more is available at hclibrary.us, and click on the Friends tab. And you can also fill out the form online for volunteering and just click Submit. So you can even do it right now as we go to the next commercial break. And when I come back, I will have Mary Norris on the phone.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Welcome back to the Library Show. I have Mary Norris, author of Greek to Me, Adventures of the Comic Queen, on the phone. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh, good. I can hear you.
I can't hear you that well, but...
Oh, dear. Is that any better?
You're just going to have to talk louder.
I will talk much louder.
Okay.
How's that? I'm going to let you do all the talking, of course. So Mary is the copy editor at The New Yorker, where she began working in 1979, and was a query proofreader at the magazine for 24 years. She's written for The Talk of the Town and for NewYorker.com on topics ranging from her cousin Dennis to mud wrestling in Rockaway, and to my current favorite, the comparison between Mary Queen of Scots and The Favorite movie. She is best known for her pieces on pencils and punctuation. She is the author of Between You and Me, Confessions of a Comic Queen, and her forthcoming Greek to Me, which comes out on Tuesday. So, welcome very much. I'm very happy to have you. Let me try and turn you up a little more.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that sounds... Can you hear me better now?
One thing is that I'm not currently a copy editor at The New Yorker. I left that job in order to write this book about Greek.
Okay. Okay, so let me ask you the first question. As a child, did you always like being right or precise?
You know, I think that I had an appreciation for being precise, partly because my mother used to sing a lot when she was doing the dishes or things, and she never got the words right, and it always irritated me.
Okay, so I do apologize for missing that you were not the copy. Your first book was very much about your life as a copy editor and a comic cop. But your second one is more of a memoir, a more personal, I would say.
Yes.
Were you always fascinated by language and usage, or is it more about the language or more about the usage?
I was always fascinated by language, both in the abstract, looking at it, looking at the words and the way they sometimes just float it off the page. And you know how when you hear a word over and over again, it starts to sound funny? It starts to sound like penicillin, penicillin, penicillin. It just gets away from you and it becomes an abstract sound. I used to enjoy getting to that point with words a lot.
Were you a voracious reader as a child? Or?
Yes, I think it was my main form of escape. I loved to read. I read a lot of mysteries as a child so that I would get enthralled. You know, it would take me to another world, basically.
Who were your favorite mystery?
Oh, I loved Trixie Belden. I loved those series with girl detectives in them. I read a lot of Nancy Drew, too, and all kinds of mysteries, any kind of mystery was something I could lose myself in. Oddly enough, I don't read mysteries at all much anymore. I don't quite know why, but it's kind of the same way I stopped doing crossword puzzles. When I started studying Greek, especially ancient Greek, trying to read some of the classics, it was something that gave me the same kind of satisfaction that doing a crossword used to. So I think that studying languages took the place of doing crossword puzzles in a way.
And you were first invited to take Latin when you were in fifth grade. And your father was not going, didn't want you to do it. It was the nuns suggested it for a Saturday class.
Right.
Had you liked Latin before, or were you just interested in it? Were you sneaking reading Winnie Ilpoo under the covers?
No. I was raised in the Catholic Church in the days when the Mass was still in Latin, and we didn't ever understand what the priest was saying, but we tried to make sense out of it the best we could. I remember there was a hymn, Ecco, Ecce un certus ambu. We thought it sounded like, hey, chase a certus mongoose. So, hey, chase a certus mongoose. Queen Diego, you know, we just tried to make some sense out of it the best we could, but I never understood any Latin, except ora pro nobis, pray for us.
I think that's a very important one. And there is some Greek in the Latin Mass, even.
Yes, that's true. The Kyrie, the word Kyrie is Lord in Greek.
So how did you...
I didn't know that, of course, until I started studying Greek.
Now, what made you, you studied French in high school, half-heartedly, it seems. How did you become fascinated by Greek?
Well, it happened when I was working. I was at the New Yorker in a job called collating, and I had a boss who had traveled widely and read even more widely, and I had the idea that I wanted to go to Greece. I was inspired by seeing the movie Time Bandits. There's a scene where Sean Connery plays Agamemnon, and he's standing in this landscape that was very dry-looking and very, very pure. And I fell in love with the scenery. Turns out the movie was actually shot in Morocco, but it was supposed to have been in Greece, and I certainly had the impression that it was in Greece. And I told my boss, his name was Ed Stringham, that I wanted to go to Greece, and immediately he showed me where he had been in Greece on a map, and then he got a book out of his shelf that was a primer in modern Greek for speakers of English, and he started translating the Greek for me. It was, you know, right before my eyes. I couldn't imagine before then that somebody could read something in a language that had such a foreign-looking alphabet. So he inspired me to try to learn that alphabet, to go to take a class in modern Greek, so that when I was traveling in Greece, I would have a little bit of the language so that I could speak to people. I think it's only polite when you travel in a foreign country to try to learn a little of their language.
Yes, and I think the Europeans would agree with you.
Yes.
Were you fascinated by the culture, or was it more the classicism, the mythology?
It was the culture. The first thing that I loved was the culture and the landscape and the language.
And it was the modern language, not the...
It was the modern language that I fell in love with at first. And this thing about the landscape being so dry, I remember many, many years ago when I was in grade school, I had done a geography project and learned that the things that came out of Greece were olives and grapes. And these two really lush things came out of that really dry, kind of barren-looking landscape. And it struck me how wonderful that was, that such a place could produce such things that had so much potential in them, you know, because they made wine out of grapes, and they used olive oil for everything. I mean, in cooking, in lighting, in lamps, in cosmetics. And it just was an incredibly useful substance with all kinds of applications. So I fell in love with that whole kind of idea of Greece, that they get so much out of so little. And then I started reading the mythology, too. I started reading Homer in translation. And it was while I was in Greece, and I was drinking an ouzo and looking at the sea from a ship in the Aegean, that I decided when I got home I would study ancient Greek, because I wanted to feel like I shared something with Homer, with the people who wrote in ancient Greek and the people who lived in ancient Greece. So when I got home, I started studying ancient Greek.
Do you find the translations imprecise into English?
Now that not so much imprecise as simply impossible to translate in a way that both captures how Greek says it and feels like idiomatic English. You know, if the translation was completely precise, it would be in very stilted English. So a good translation, in my opinion, a good translator has to take a freer approach. For instance, a poet translating Homer would translate it into English poetry. A classicist, an academic translating Homer, would give you the precise, literal translation, and it would not be useless. I mean, it's good, but it would only be good as an aid to learning the Greek.
Do you have a favorite translator?
Yes, I like, for Homer, I like Robert Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald was a poet before he was a classicist, and so that's what he did. He recreated the Homeric epics in English.
Okay. And you've never learned Latin, like you've never looked back. Greek is your...
Well, it's terrible that I've never learned Latin. But when I did skip over Latin, and I came to ancient Greek from modern Greek, and I also studied Italian, and I still hope that Italian will lead me back into studying Latin. I haven't given up on the idea of studying Latin yet, but I did internalize that first prohibition from my father, and it's kind of sad, I guess, but I decided somewhere along the way that it would please my father if I didn't study Latin, and so I never did study Latin, but I am still going to.
Well, because I think Greek is a very difficult language, because it's my understanding that one false diacritical on the page will change the word, what it means.
Yes. The modern language is difficult because one of the reasons it's difficult is that if you put the accent, if you put the stress on the wrong syllable of the word, you're saying a completely different word. And it's so different, and the Greeks are so used to the value of that stress, that they won't understand what you mean, and you can get in trouble. In ancient Greek, the diacritics are very hard because every word has it'll have different kinds of accents on it that mean different things. There's a little thing that looks like an apostrophe that they use it. They use both backwards and forwards called a breathing mark. And if it's over an O and it looks like a backwards apostrophe, that is a sign that that is that has a what they call it's a breathing mark. It means it has an H in front of it. So Homer, actually the letter, the name in Greek begins with O, not with H. And in ancient Greek, it has this little squiggle over the top of it to show that it's Homer, not Omer.
Okay.
So it's hard.
Is it the kind of thing that you keep learning something new each time, or at a certain point you just need to keep reading?
You learn something new all the time. Of course, I learn something new all the time in English, too. You know? I just found out that the other day that I was mispronouncing a word wrong. How would you pronounce, you know this, you're on radio, P-I-Q-U-A-N-C-Y.
I would probably say piquancy, but I'm the wrong person to ask, because I'm a reader, not a talker.
Oh, well, that's the same way I am. I was always pronouncing it piquancy, but it's piquancy. That's a French Q.
Okay.
So it's pronounced the way we would pronounce a K.
That's the, and I grew up in a Catholic as well, and
yeah.
The Q-U in Latin has a different sound than in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
Or than in English, it's a harder sound.
Right.
And that was a hard thing to get used to. In some
so
of the
you did study Latin?
I did not. I come from a family of Latin studiers and Arabic and Biblical Greek and Biblical Hebrew, but I have enough trouble with English.
Oh.
That
so you know Biblical Greek then, wow.
Yes, yeah, I don't, that's my mother. But can we talk a little bit about your commas?
Okay.
Because I love commas. I prefer...
radio either, I hear.
Yeah, I prefer semicolons as well. But did commas become your thing, or is it all punctuation marks, or... I watched your TED Talk, which is very enlightening, and I encourage everyone to look it up, where you put some of the more egregious errors up on the screen. But was it always commas with you?
Well, it's commas at the New Yorker.
Okay.
You know, the New Yorker practices something called close punctuation, which means that whenever there's a place where you can put commas, that there's a structural reason in the sentence that the comma will illuminate, then the New Yorker would use that comma. The most obvious example is the serial comma or the Oxford comma in a list of three or more, the one that comes before and.
Right.
As in, say, red, white, and blue. And a lot of publishers don't use that comma, especially newspapers. Newspapers don't use it. They want to go for something more fluid. The actual reason is economical. Originally, they started taking out that comma to save ink and to save space. So now that everything's on the internet, they really could put it back in and they wouldn't be spending any extra money. But that is just one small use. The other use of the comma that the New Yorker was very big on was to put it around a clause or a phrase that is what we call non-restrictive or non-essential to the meaning of the sentence. The big example is, say, he died in 1966 of pulmonary embolism. I don't know why I'm pulling that out of nowhere. But the New Yorker would put commas around the date.
Okay.
It depends on the meaning of the sentence. If the point of the sentence is what year the person died, then I don't think it demands commas. But otherwise, if the sentence makes sense without that date in it, then it is not essential. And the New Yorker would put commas around it. I don't know that this is going to make a lot of sense to people, and a lot of people do not like those commas. Also, a lot of people are put off by the term restrictive and non-restrictive because they sound scary.
So it's almost like a parenthetical.
Yes,
aside.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You mentioned series commas, Oxford commas. Do you find calling them Oxford commas pretentious?
Yes, yes, I do. I never heard that until, well, it must be now more than 10 years ago, probably closer to 15 years ago. We always called it the series comma or the serial comma, and all of a sudden people were calling it the Oxford comma. The reason is that it is the style of Oxford University Press. But it's the style also of the New Yorker. It's the style of a lot of university presses and probably some non-university presses. And to call it the Oxford comma just seems like it's a bit stilted to me to be citing the most cultured institution in English, or in England, anyway.
Yes.
It makes me, as an American, feel small.
Well, maybe we'll start a movement to call it the New Yorker comma.
Yes, or even, you know, the Harvard comma.
Yes.
that's not a huge improvement.
You mentioned the New Yorker has a very strict and distinctive style, as a lot of print journalism does. Is there a rule or one that you're willing to admit to in public that you don't really care for, that you wish they didn't do?
Well, I have to say that I don't use the diéresis in my own personal correspondence. That is the two dots that look like an umlaut,
right,
that the New Yorker uses over the word, the second O in cooperate, for instance. And the rationale behind that is rather old-fashioned. They're just trying to prevent anyone from pronouncing that word cooperate, and nobody would do that.
Not without the R-E in front of it, I think.
Right.
Are print errors more egregious than spoken grammar errors?
Sure, yes. I mean, you know, people speak all the time, and all kinds of things that people say don't make it once what you say is in print. I mean, they're unnecessary. You know, all these little words that I'm using, like, you know, and okay, and really, those are words that if I were writing, I'd probably take out.
Okay.
Because they just fill up space. There are other ways in writing of getting your point across. You don't have to be quite as conversational as you might.
Do you have grammar pet peeves?
I do. There are still things that bother me. I don't like the use of impact as a verb unless it's an asteroid hitting the Earth and it impacts. Otherwise, I think influence or effect is the correct word to use as a verb. And I still distinguish between lie and lay.
Okay.
You know, lie being the intransitive verb, meaning to lie down, and the principal parts are lie, lay, and lain, and lay being the transitive verb, meaning to put something on something, to lay the garment on the floor to dry. This is what keeps sticking to me, as I have a blouse that says on the inside, lay flat to dry. And at first I thought that's a mistake, but it's not. You lay the blouse on the floor to dry it. So the principal parts of that are lay, laid, and laid. And they seem to have gotten pretty hopelessly mixed up. People talk about it, going to lay down instead of lie down. But it still bothers me. I still try to keep that precise.
Well, then I think I'm going to know the answer to this question. A few weeks ago, my co-host, who's off today, was talking about an event we had at the library, and you'd have the funnest time ever. And I just cringed, and I assured him funnest should never, ever be used. And we did find a couple examples on the internet, although I will say Word does not, it underlines it in red and it won't let me use it. And I still take umbrage with it. Do you have a feeling about funnest?
Well, that is a funny one because I personally have said, I remember talking about taking a ferry to Provincetown, and I said, well, that is the funnest way to get there. And somebody I was talking to said, you said funnest? And
okay, it makes sense in that sentence it sounded right.
Oh, thank you.
But I don't know, just the funnest time did not seem to...
Well, it's an odd one. I was going to say a funny one. I don't know why you can't say funner, funnest. Maybe right. Because, yes, it's both a noun and an adjective, right?
That's the explanation I found for it. So.
Uh-huh.
All right, I'll have to let him know he can have it. So I just wanted to ask you a couple more quick questions. I really appreciate you taking out your time this morning. Aaron, who set this interview up, sent me the Publisher's Weekly review. Do you proofread your reviews, or do you think the reviewers are daunted at the thought of writing a review for your book, or maybe the editors? Or
I'm not a big reviewer. The one thing that I do from time to time is if I really, really like a book, I can write something that to show my appreciation. If I don't like a book, I'd rather not review it. I think it's, having been on the end of reviews myself, I feel that it hurts, it does harm, when just shutting up would solve that.
Right, but do you
giving the job to somebody else who likes the book better?
But do you sit down with your publisher, the review that Publishers Weekly did for Greek to Me with a red pen, and say, "Oops, that's wrong."
I did, yes.
And do you think that the people who wrote it were kind of daunted about knowing that you were going to do that? And
possibly.
I would not want to review one of your books in print because.
Well, you know, the people who, I don't know. I have just had many different kinds of experiences with being reviewed. If I find I don't think I've found a lot of mistakes in reviews of my books. Maybe because people go over them very carefully.
I would. And and Publishers Weekly did give you a star. So that's outstanding. Just one last thing. On one hand, grammar seems to have become very casual with texting and the HBU, how about you, which isn't even how about you, things like that. But at the same time, there's authors like you, Lynn Truss, Benjamin Dreyer's new book, or even The Grammar Table in Verde Square in Manhattan, where people are, there still seems to be this urge to get back to traditional grammar as... a new generation is making it more casual. Do you sense that as well, or?
Yes, I think that there's a correlation there. I think it's the other end of the spectrum waking up. On the one hand, yes, there is a lot of casual usage going on. You know, nobody. I mean, this generation, or the last two generations, I guess, are the first that have had that outlet for writing, and it is casual. It's tossed off, and I don't think there's any reason to labor over it. And abbreviations are fun. Emojis are fun, but on the other end of the spectrum, as a counterweight. There is a greater interest in what is actually proper usage and beautiful language. It's the same, I think, in printed matter. There is such a lot going on the web, right? You can read all kinds of things on the web, and fortunately on the web, if you make a mistake, you can go in and change it and fix it. But there aren't so many. There are still a lot of books, but because it's gotten easier to self-publish and books have gotten, in a sense, cheaper, things can be read for free on the Internet. The other end of that spectrum, there's a movement of art books. There are people who are going back to letterpress. And I just recently saw a work by a woman who was pressing to have the letter Theta, the one that looks like an egg with a line across in the middle of it from Greek, substituted for the TH in all English words. She had printed this broadside where she put a Theta instead of a TH in all the words that had that letter in them, just to prove that this would be, her idea was that it would be an improvement over current English, it would be a reform. Now, it's not going to happen, but just that somebody loves letters so much, I mean, actual physical letters of the alphabet, that she would go to the trouble to make a beautiful thing using those letters. You know, that's happening too, and that to me is the answer to a lot of casual usage and a lot of free stuff on the web, is this precious use of paper and print and ink.
Well, I am for one, glad there are still paper books available. I appreciate the ease of the Internet, but if you drop a book in the bathtub, you're not going to electrocute yourself.
Right.
Yes. So is there anything else that you'd like to share with the listeners before? Your book comes out on Tuesday.
Yes, the book comes out on Tuesday. Today I am in Providence, Rhode Island, where I'm at a conference of copy editors. So I can tell you from personal experience that these people are passionate about the language, and they're all gathered in this hotel today talking about all aspects of usage, and I'm going to try to persuade them that they should all study, not necessarily Greek, but a foreign language to open their minds and to learn more about English.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking your time out from your conference. And good luck on Tuesday when this comes out.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Mary. Have a good day. Bye-bye. So that was Mary Norris, author of Greek to Me, Adventures of the Comma Queen, which comes out on Tuesday. And the books are on order at the county library. If you want to put a hold on it, you'll be one of the first people to read it when it's processed. And one of the last things Mary mentioned was learning a foreign language, which could lead me to something else about the library. On the website hclibrary.us, we have a link to Rosetta Stone Library Solution, which is an easy, effective program that learns you how to learn a new language on your own time. And you can just sign in, and it's self-guided. So wherever you leave off in a lesson, you can pick right back up. So I am going to recombobulate and go to our last commercial break, and I will be right back with some more library news.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Hunterton Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterton Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterton Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterton-chamber.org. The Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to the Library Show. I'm Jennifer Winberry. Jim Thatch is out today. It's 11:48, and Jim Gonneau will be in just under 10 minutes to take care of some business. And some business I have left to take care of is, first announcement I want to make is, earlier this year, I had the team from HarperCollins Library Marketing on the show for a couple hours talking about their favorite books coming up. And Virginia mentioned that author Ellen McCourt, whose book, The Perfect Fraud, comes out later this summer, June 18th, lives just a short distance away from us. So I've been in touch with the HarperCollins publicity team, and I'm excited to announce that on Tuesday, July 30th, Ellen McCourt will be at the Hunterton County Library talking about her debut novel, The Perfect Fraud. So stay tuned for more about that. Also, National Library Week is coming up. It begins April 7th, and it goes for the whole week. Wednesday, April 10th, is National Bookmobile Day, and the bookmobile will be at the Lester D. Wilson School in the morning in Alexandria Township, and it will be at the Deer Path YMCA from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. So if you're around, stop on by, and I want to thank Justin Grand, the Director of Member Engagement, and it's a really long title, Justin. I'm sorry, I can never remember it all. But thanks for helping set that up with us. We're really excited to have it there. And something else we're going to have during National Library Week at the Headquarters North County and South County Branch Libraries is we're going to be raffling off gift baskets that were donated by the Friends of the Hunterton County Library. There'll be an adult and a children's one in each location, and they have an outdoor theme. The adult one is geared a little bit toward gardening, so you do want to stop in and enter for that each time you come into the library. And if you've been at the Headquarters Library this past week, you'll notice things are on the move. All the nonfiction was shifted to the lower level about 6-7 months ago, and the upper level has been in a state of transition, and it has almost finished. The children's area, the youth services area, has moved upstairs. The picture books are up there, the juvenile fiction, the young adult books are coming up as we speak. They're spread out. It's open and spacious. The adult public internet computers have been moved to the main level, so it's a very convenient place. They're in the little glassed-in area just beyond the circulation desk. Very convenient when you come into the library. They'll be right there. The reference collection has moved down into the room that used to be the children's room, and we're slowly moving the shelving out of there. We'll be putting up some tables, and eventually we hope to get some more quiet study and some meeting room space in that room. So if you're looking for children's books, head on upstairs, and the children's DVDs have been moved up there as well. It's a very exciting time. We have a new train table that the Friends purchased for us upstairs, and over the next few months we'll be adding quite a few new things to keep children engaged and want them to come to the library. And we also have some upcoming programs for April. Last night was Scottish musician Jim Malcolm. I haven't heard yet how it was, but he always draws a big crowd, and he's always an outstanding performer. Tonight at the North County Branch is an evening with Gordon Thomas Ward, and there'll be projected images and audio containing a variety of the very best music, inspirational experiences, historical events, poignant book passages, and ghostly tales. He was a Grammy balladed musician. He's a New Jersey troubadour, popular author, and ghost researching is Gordon Thomas Ward's forte. And Friday morning at the North County Branch Library in the meeting room at 9:30, there's a business breakfast marketing workshop and breakfast marketers anonymous, helping one another through networking and partnership advice. And the target audience is local businesses, owners, managers, entrepreneurs from all industries looking to grow their business. And this is hoping to be a collaborative workshop where attendees can network and share their challenges and suggestions. And all our programs are free and open to the public, and you can sign up online, hclibrary.us, click on our events calendars, and then you can just sign up for the programs you're most interested in. Many of our programs are funded in part by the Friends of the Hunterdon County Library and also through a grant administered by the Hunterdon County Cultural and Heritage Commission. Tomorrow morning at Headquarters Library, the Friday morning book group will meet. They will be discussing The Woman in Cabin 10 by Ruth Ware. Tomorrow afternoon, 2:30 to 4:30 at North County Branch Library, the Hunterdon Chrysanthemum chapter will be meeting. They're a group of gardeners. They have a special interest in chrysanthemums, so they grow all types of plants, and they will be discussing trees, shrubs, and plants with a proper comma for a small garden. Then Saturday afternoon at the North County Branch Library, they will be showing First Man, starring Ryan Gosling, the riveting story of NASA's mission to land a man on the moon. On Tuesday, April 2nd, at the North County at the Headquarters Library from 7 to 8:30, Dr. Gang Hung will offer a talk and demonstration on the basics of Tai Chi. Participants should wear some comfortable clothing. At the North County Branch Library, there will be a fiber artists drop-in session from 7 to 8:30. And on Wednesday at the Headquarters Library, Wednesday afternoon, 4 to 4:45, drop in and read to the therapy dogs. This is a great way for children to get comfortable with dogs and to get comfortable with reading and reading out loud. That evening at the North County Branch Library, the Sierra Club will meet, and adventure traveler Skip Jonas will present his travels through the Himalaya, Himalayan trek in the Dolpo region of Nepal. On the 4th, next Friday, at Headquarters from 1 to 2:30, Jan Goodman of the Greater Raritan One-Stop Career Center Training Services will cover the art of effective communication. And then we end next week with two movies, one at Headquarters Thursday evening from 6 to 9. It will be showing the Academy Award-nominated film Green Book. And then on Friday afternoon, we'll be showing the Academy Award-nominated film Bohemian Rhapsody at the North County Branch Library. And we're going to wrap up the week with a Saturday afternoon program at Headquarters, Healthy Coaching for Healthier Living. And at the Headquarters Library, the Oldwick Community Players will present A Human Being Died That Night. So don't forget to check out our website, hclibrary.us, for these and more programs going on at the library. And stop into Headquarters Library to see all the changes that are upcoming. Jim Gano is right outside the door, so thank you for listening. Remember, wherever you are, you can call, stop in, or go online. We'll hope to hear you. Hope to see you next week. Have you listening to us next week when Jim Thatch will be back, and it will be April and National Poetry Month. We'll have more Jim Thatch original poetry and more poetry from Jumping Jewels. Good night.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Democratic chair of the House Intelligence Committee coming under fire from Republicans as a hearing begins this morning. Democrat Adam Schiff rejecting claims by Republicans that he deliberately fueled a false narrative about Russian collusion with the Trump campaign. But Texas Republican Mike Conaway told him,
"We have no faith in your ability to discharge your duties in a manner consistent with your constitutional responsibility and urge your immediate resignation as chairman of the committee."
In his final report, special counsel Robert Mueller said he could not prove any collusion or conspiracy between Trump's campaign and Russia. The Commerce Department says the U.S. economy grew at 2.2% in the fourth quarter of 2018, down from the third quarter's 3.4% growth. Growth for all of last year comes in at 2.9%. This is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
President Trump saying this morning he might close the southern border again, tweeting that he's angry Mexico is not, as he puts it, doing much to stop the flow of illegal immigrants into our country. This comes after an announcement from Customs and Border Protection that the breaking point has arrived at the border with Mexico. The president also saying in an interview that he can claim victory after the special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation didn't find evidence of collusion between his campaign and Russia, though the president says there were a lot of casualties during the course of the investigation.
People were hurt so badly. Their lives have been ruined, and over something that should have never taken place, an investigation that should have never happened.
He was speaking on Fox's Hannity. Major League Baseball gets underway today with a new season that sees all 30 teams in action, and the Sweet 16 and the Men's March Madness begins today. And this is USA Radio News.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank member FDIC.
A sword-wielding suspect is dead and two cops in California wounded after an incident at the Inglewood Church of Scientology. It began yesterday afternoon. Reports of a suspect entering the building with a sword and a gun. When officers arrived, shots were fired. The two officers were struck, one in the hand, another in the arm. Both were taken to hospitals. They're expected to survive. The suspect reportedly shot in the head and later died at a hospital. There's no word on what his motive may have been. The Federal Trade Commission is shutting down four groups that it says were responsible for billions of robocalls. The FTC says the groups pitched a variety of services from auto warranties and debt relief to home security systems, fake charities, and help improving Google search results. The FTC says in a news release that it brought dozens of cases targeting illegal robocalls and